If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Welcome to Daily Roll Call. I'm your host, Kathy Hinners, here on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Happy Friday. Our number to call in is 718-305-7176. It has been a long week. For me, that means in the Islamist world, it has been a long week. A lot of things going on that we're going to be talking about throughout the 2 hours that we have coming up here. Hope everybody is doing well. And I told you last Friday that this Friday you need to get your friends and your relatives, and if you're not doing anything else, you need to sit around the internet and listen to the show, because we are giving you the most up-to-date information on what is happening in the world of Islam as far as the United States goes. So there's a couple of things in particular that have come out this week that are typical of some of the organizations of CARE and the ACLU and some other Islamist, apologetic type organizations. And we're going to probably talk about that in our second hour. Also in our second hour, your guest again is going to be me, and as it has been for the last couple of weeks. And what we're going to do this week is we're starting a segment called Roll Call Briefings. And that is what we used to have every morning in Roll Call, and it was just little tidbits of information that everybody can use. And it used to be specifically for law enforcement, but I think that I've gotten, over the years, I've learned that, yeah, there are special things for law enforcement, but there's also a lot of things that you need to know, too. And I think that some of those things we're going to talk about in the second hour as, like, what to look for when you go into a store that is run by either Middle Easterners or Muslims. Some of the things that you should be looking for, you should be aware of when you go in and you support these stores, and where your money could be going as far as you supporting these stores. So that is something that you need to pay attention to. Further down the road, we're going to be talking about Islamburg, Islamville. If you haven't heard of those places, we touched briefly on those a couple of weeks ago with my guest Ryan Morrow. And Islamburg is the main compound run by a group of terrorists. I feel very comfortable saying that they're terrorists. They are in Hancock or Deposit, New York. It's right on the border there, which is outside of Binghamton, New York. And then there's Islamville in Dover, Tennessee. And there's 36 of these communities throughout this country. So I think that it's important that we talk about what those compounds are and what they do and how they exist even in this country. So that's going to be coming up in our second hour. So we have a lot of information. We are hopefully going to be talking to Victoria Jackson, if anybody remembers Victoria. I hope you do. She was the funny lady from Saturday Night Live. She was on for, I believe, like 6 years on Saturday Night Live. Great comedian, but really I'm learning a much better conservative. She is an activist. She is really great, and we're going to have her with us this first hour as well. So the phone call, or the number to call in, is 718-305-7176. So if you have any questions, for Victoria when she calls in, or for, me in general, call in. You know, they say there is no such thing as a stupid question, and there really isn't. It's only stupid if you don't ask, right? So I told you about some of the pet peeves that are going on this world, in the Islamist world, and I guess the first thing that I'd want to talk about is what CARE. Now, everybody should be, if you've been listening, Everybody definitely should know who CARE is, the Council on American Islamic Relations. That is a very important word to learn, a very important organization to be aware of. The Council on American Islamic Relations is the largest grassroots Islamist organization in this country. But more so than that, they are a very dangerous organization in that they are being used to propagate and to deliver the agenda, which we have talked about in the past, as far as what the Muslim Brotherhood is going to do. So CARE, and I think we talked about this a little bit over the last couple of weeks, they are not here, and they have said they are not here to be part of any other organization, so or any other religion either. So we're going to get into that in our second hour. And first, I just want to give a little bit of background on my friend Victoria. She started out she's got a heck of a career, and I'm going to let her kind of tell everybody about that. But as you all know, Victoria was on Saturday Night Live for several years. She has a new book out called Is My Bow Too Big? And we all know I usually say something else is too big for myself. She has a website, victoriajackson.com, that is just full of great information. And she writes some excellent articles, which you can read them on libertyalliance.com. I haven't known Victoria very long, but what I can tell you from what I have learned about her since I've known her, she's extremely passionate about what she does, but she's also a very caring, warm, and sincere person. And she's really cool, too. So hello, Victoria.
Kathy, Nicole.
Victoria the comedian. How are you?
I just finished writing an article called If It Walks Like a Dictator and It Talks Like a Dictator. And then I Google image and I found a picture of a duck dressed like a dictator. I'm so excited.
When's that article going to be out?
Well, I'm just posting it right now, and then I looked at the time, and I was like, oh, no, I have to be on Kathy's show.
That's okay. I sent you a text to remind you. That's fine. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that you were able to come on tonight. And I have a lot of questions, but we said we probably just will talk like we always, when we talk when we see each other. But I was looking at some of the articles on your website. And again, everybody go to victoriajackson.com. And Victoria also writes for the Liberty Alliance as well. There's some great articles on there. And I certainly can pick up the fact of who you like and who you don't like. And the last time I saw Victoria, she had this great shirt on. What did it say, Victoria?
Oh, there's a communist living in the White House.
Yeah, she actually goes out in public with this shirt, which I think is just great. I think that it's all no holds barred. I think that was really pretty cool. But I have just a couple of questions, and I did get some emails today. And the one question I think that everybody wants to know, and if you can tell me in a few minutes, how on earth did you go from a comedian to a conservative? What happened?
Well, that's a very good question. actually, it wasn't so far of a leap because I was a Christian since I was 6 years old. So anything that lines up with the Bible is what I believe in. However, I was never into politics. When I was 18, my dad said, I said, who should I vote for? And he said, anybody with an R next to their name. And I said, oh, are they Christians? And he said, no, but they're closer to the Bible than the D. Yeah. And so that was my whole political education. And when I was on Saturday Night Live, I remember Al Franken told me once that in his childhood, every night around the dinner table, his family would discuss politics. And I thought, huh, that's funny. When I was a child, we sat around the dinner table, and all we ever discussed was the Bible and gymnastics. Mm-hmm. So I thought, no wonder why I'm still doing handstands and he's in the Senate. But anyway, Of course, I think he cheated his way into his position.
Oh, geez, yeah. Yeah, he's not very popular, I don't think. Or if he is, not with the right crowd.
Well, I just mean it was just so not honest looking how he, that whole way he got his office. It was like, I heard all of these stories about people in jail voting for him and the numbers being recounted a million times. And so anyway, I'm not sure that he actually honestly won that position. But anyway, he always was political. This is how it happened to me. In my 20s, I was on Saturday Night Live. I was a Christian. I was the only one in the cast, I believe, who was. And it didn't really affect my job. I was there to be funny. I was very professional. And so Reagan was the president. And I remember thinking, oh, I should have voted for him. He's so great. But I thought, I'm sure glad everyone else did. Phew. Because he was defeating communism all around the world. And the Berlin Wall was falling down. And so I wrote this piece for the update desk with Dennis Miller where I did a handstand, because that's what I've done my whole childhood.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was a gymnastics coach, which is why I now have a bad hip, and I think I need hip replacement surgery. So.
Oh, no. That's not good. I'm sorry to hear that, but I do know that you were limping the last time I saw you, so that's
yeah.
not good. That's really
no,
not
I
good. Let me just read this real quick. Don't go away. You just hold on right there. I just have to read us a commercial real quick, so don't go away. ConservativeNationMedia.com starts off the work week every Monday in a big way. It's Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veteran insights and the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check them out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council, Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. And we're talking to my friend Victoria Jackson, who is a very, very funny girl, but she also is dead serious when it comes to some of the things that are happening in this country. And so she's been kind of telling us how this all happened from going from Hollywood and doing so much of the Hollywood thing to where she's at now, which is really, I think, a cooler place for her to be personally, because I think the Hollywood scene is so corrupt and so backwards and so nasty, you know. So we're glad you're on our side now.
Thank you. Although we do need conservatives in Hollywood, you know, we instead of running away from there, we should be flocking there and transforming them. Actually.
Yeah, let me know how that works out for you, would you?
I got too exhausted of trying to do that. I'm here in the safe Bible buckle belt.
Buckle of the Bible belt. That's what they keep telling me, but I don't know. This buckle is getting a little rusty with all this Islamist crap that's happening in the state, which you are well aware of. I mean, you've been part of, you know, what's happening in this state. And I think I've said to you, it's like, why did we come here? Because I didn't know that it was crawling with the Muslim Brotherhood, and we've kind of talked about that, but I guess we were here because we're supposed to be here, I guess.
Yes, we're here to fight the Islamic Jihad.
And we're doing pretty good, I think.
Yeah, we got to push it back. We got to push back communism and Islam, or you know, we're hanging by a thread here of freedom. But anyway, do you want me to finish my story of how
I got interested?
Okay.
Yes, I do.
So, all right. So what happened was I had a big knowledge of communism because I was raised in the 70s. I was in a Christian school, and my teacher in seventh grade made us read George Orwell's book, 1984. And she told us that communism would not take over America by force because of the Second Amendment, but it would take over from within by the breakup of the family unit and by sex, drugs, and rock and roll, which is sin.
Wow.
And I was 12, and I remember thinking, wow, yeah, I could see that happening. And then, you know, as time went on, I'm in my 20s, I'm on SNL, doing a handstand with a flag on my butt, and I was celebrating the fact that Reagan was in Reykjavik. I remember having to, you know, spell it as I typed up my idea, and he was defeating communism. And I did a handstand on the desk and to celebrate our freedom and how this is the only country where you could do something like that. And so then in my 30s, I was raising a family in Miami, in the suburbs. My husband's a helicopter police pilot, Metro-Dade police. And I remember making fun of him as he would stand in front of the TV watching Fox News. And I would say, Paul, it's so boring. Why do you watch the stupid, boring news all day? And one day I saw Clinton on there, and he was saying, depends what the meaning of the word is. And I did a double take, and I went, what? This country's being run by morons. And then I thought, not only morons, immoral morons. Mm-hmm. And so I said out loud, I've got to get involved. And I said to my husband, where do I vote? How do I vote? And I had never voted before, and I was 37.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
That's right. And I was, you know, I had a college, well, I'd been in college. I was pretty smart. I just say that because there's so many millions of people out there who are like me. And I'm trying to wake them up. Okay, so what happened was my husband goes, well, you have to register. And I go, register? What does that mean? To vote? And so I go, where do you do that? And he's like, the Boy Scouts? No, see. So I said, where do you go? He said, the Boy Scout Center. And I said, where do you register? And so I just, okay, so this is my journey. So I registered.
Wait, hold on one second. Wait, Victoria, hold on one second. I got to hold your journey on for one second. Don't go away. I have to take a commercial break. I'm already a minute late, so just hold on with that thought. And we'll be right back with Victoria Jackson in her very interesting journey. We'll be right back.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, and thank you for your service.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. Every child deserves to have access to books because children who grow up with books invariably do better in life than children who do not. How do I choose a book? Is it the cover? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual, so it's a combination of those two. But the first book I remember was Captain's Courageous. When I finished that book, I had become so involved with these characters. So here's the thing. If a book's really, really impressing me and the writing is really, really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is. Because the endings of books, if it's really, really well done, that ending, that last thought should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
Welcome back to ConservativeNationMedia.com. This is Daily Roll Call. I am Kathy Hinners, your host. The number to call in is 718-305-7176. We are talking to the funny Victoria Jackson, and she was telling us how she got into this mess. And so you were saying, and I'm sorry I had to interrupt you, that you weren't registered and you were about to register. So what happened?
Yeah, to vote. So then I was in my 40s, and then, let's see, my daughter got married, and I said to my husband, can I go back to L.A. and try to get my career again once more before I die? And he's like, I don't think they like 50-year-old women in Hollywood. I'm like,
oh,
well, maybe,
geez,
I know. But he didn't really say it. It was kind of like in between the lines. But I had this urge. I was like, I don't know, but I feel like God's telling me to go there. Maybe it's for another reason. And he was feeling like God was telling me not to go there. So I was like, we might be praying to two different gods because my God is telling me to go there. But you know how marriage is. It's hard to compromise. So I went to L.A. for an experimental year and took my teenager. My husband commuted back and forth, and I was starting from scratch, and one of my friends said, why don't you go to this underground conservative group to network, because you outed yourself as a Christian in the 90s on Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher, and, you know, Hollywood doesn't really like Christians, and maybe you'll find an agent or an audition there. And I said, well, I'm not political, but I guess I would be like-minded. So I go to my first meeting, and it was about 30 people. John Voight was there. And most of the people in this organization are in the closet because if they came out, they would lose their careers. And so I won't say any more names except Pat Boone because those two are out. Well, they are out, already out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And so, but this group started with two people in 2007, and now it's over 2,000 people.
Wow.
So there are conservatives in Hollywood, California. They're just quiet because they have to pay their mortgage and feed their kids.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time in my life, I didn't have a career. And so what happened was I'm sitting at this meeting, and when it was my turn to speak, I said, well, I don't know anything about politics, but I am a Christian, so I guess I'm a conservative, and I have a feeling like I'm supposed to be here. Then the next week, they had a screening of a documentary, and I quickly was educated by books and conversations and documentaries, and they were talking about how Hillary was a socialist and how we have to get America not to vote for her. This is 2007. And
wow.
I remember this documentary I saw was called Blocking the Path to 9/11. And what it was about was a guy named Cyrus Mastrowitz. He made the documentary The Path to 9/11. And he worked 3 years on it. And it was all facts and truth about how 9/11 happened. And when he produced it and it was about to show on TV, the Clintons had a scene removed because it made Clinton look bad because it was the scene where Osama bin Laden was in the sights of the military and Clinton didn't answer the phone. And
oh,
so they lost. You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
They lost the chance to get him. And so the Clintons had so much political power, they had that scene removed from the documentary. And all of a sudden my brain clicked back to seventh grade, George Orwell's 1984, when they talked about a free country becoming communist and how the government would rewrite history. And they're rewriting history. They can't have the power to change facts and truth. And then I saw a movie called Hype, and The first one was by Citizens United, I think. And then I heard Cyrus give his testimony about the whole thing, and he was passionate. And it was like hearing someone from Cuba talking about Castro taking over. And I grew up in Miami, so I'm very familiar with all of the Cubans coming to Miami for freedom. It started in 1959 when I was born. My whole town turned into Cuba. And I heard stories they told me about things like in kindergarten, the teachers tell the five-year-olds to close their eyes and bow their heads and pray and ask God for. When the kids open their eyes, there's no candy there. And then they tell them, bow your heads, close your eyes, and pray to Castro and ask for candy. And they open their eyes, and there's candy there.
Oh, my goodness.
And my friend in Miami told me that. That's true. So my other friend was on the Peter Pan program when his parents put him on a plane and flew him just for safety to America. So anyway, I saw this movie about Obama called Hype. And it was about his past in Chicago. Sorry, that's my husband, the cop, calling in. I have to ignore it. And so I saw this movie, and I was like, oh, no, he's a communist. Frank Marshall Davis, his childhood mentor, is a card-carrying communist member. His parents, the grandparents who raised him in Hawaii were communists. They had a card-carrying member. And so I tried to tell everybody. And I sent the movie to my agent. I had gotten an agent by then, and she sent me a mean note back. And she was supposedly a Christian, and I thought, what? How can you not even, a communist is going to, I forgot to tell you this part. At one of the meetings, I heard someone walk by and say, someone's running for president who's left of Hillary. And that's when I went, left of Hillary? She's a socialist. What would be left of Hillary?
It doesn't get much further left, does it?
Right. So basically, that was my political awakening. And I had this fire in my chest. Like, I had some truth that nobody knew, and I had to tell them. Kind of like how the gospel is supposed to be to Christians. We're supposed to have this burning fire. Like, if we really love our friends and we really believe the Bible and it says they're going to hell if they don't have Jesus, then we should tell them, or else we don't really love them or we don't really believe it. And so,
but, you see what's happening, though. I mean, the Christian religion and the Jewish religion is being trampled on and diminished every single year. It gets worse. I mean, they're taking God out of everything. You know, you're not supposed to say Merry Christmas. There's all these, I will tell you that, you know, my grandson, they have to call Easter eggs pastel orbs because they're not allowed to say Easter. So, I mean, these are the things, pastel orbs. I mean, that sounds like a candy. It sounds like an M&M. It doesn't sound like a, you know, Easter. But, you know, I mean, we've talked about this. This is what's unfortunately happening. And that's, do you think that Islam is the bigger threat right now? What do you think is the bigger threat?
Well, that leads me to the next thing is that, when I was in the airport and I asked the stranger, did they call Zone 4 yet? And he goes, hey, I just saw you on the internet saying they have beheadings and pedophile weddings and then they pray five times a day. They like to kill anyone who will not say the things they want you to say. Sharia law, Sharia law, what more can be said? If you say it, go away, they put a fatwa on your head. So I said, you
I love that.
Well, it's dangerous to say it, but I was raised in America where I have freedom of speech. And if I'm not allowed to say that anymore, then America's dead.
You're right. And unfortunately, I think that's where we're headed, I think, you know. And now at that venture or juncture right there, I'm just going to take a quick break, and we will be back with more of Victoria Jackson and some really cool stories. So, Victoria, don't go away. We'll be back in a minute.
Okay.
All right. let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com, you're a conservative, you love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essential is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Go to conservativenationmedia.com, click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution where America always wins.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict. The war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
This is a test to find out if you know it all when it comes to children. Time starts now. Name one of the leading killers of U.S. children age 1 to 13. What's the best way to protect children in a car crash? At what age and size should a child start using a booster seat? Where can you find the answers to these questions?
Car crashes are one of the leading killers of U.S. children. Many of those deaths could be prevented by making sure that kids are in the right seat for their age and size. Don't assume you know it all when it comes to car seats for your child. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat and know for sure. That's safercar.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
All right, welcome back to Daily Roll Call on conservativenationmedia.com. This is Kathy Hinners, your host. Our number to call in is 718-305-716, and we are talking to Victoria Jackson, and you're just awesome. You've got a lot of stuff to say. You've got so much in your head and so much experience, and so we were talking about, you know, the fact that we really we're losing some ground here. So do you think, I think communism and Islamism is the same thing, but what do you think?
Well, that's a good point. I think you're right. They're both dictatorship, kind of. Well, so what happened was when I was in the airport and I sang that, let me think about that question. And I was, the stranger I was talking to happened to be John Guandolo, who wrote the book. Yeah, he wrote the book Sharia the Threat. You can go to shariathethreat.com, or you can go to understandingthethreat.com.
Yes.
Is that his name? Yeah.
Yeah.
Understandingthethreat.com. And the funny thing is, so many people are living, and they have no idea that Islam has crept in over the last 20 years, is taking over our country, trying to take over the world, and has taken over Europe. And basically, I heard a great YouTube, it's on my website, this guy explains the three stages of Islam. They seek world domination. It's not just a religion, it's a military and a political system. kind of disguised as a religion. It's a false religion. It's basically a satanic cult because they take stories from the Bible, twist them, change them. For instance, they believe in Jesus, but they don't believe he's God, etc. And anyway, it's a religion of violence, and basically everything they believe in is opposite of the Bible. In other words, our Antichrist of the end times is their 12th imam. Their superhero guy is our Antichrist. Mm-hmm. It's the exact opposite of the Bible, which is what Satan likes to do. Anyway, Islam, or what was it? Oh, the three stages are, first, they creep into a country, civilization, jihad, stealth jihad. When they're the minority, they just, you know, live in a place and have lots of babies. Then the second stage is when they start claiming their victims and fighting for their rights, creeping into the court system, demanding Sharia law. For instance, it's already in America where New Jersey, the guy beat up his wife, and he said, but it's my religion, I'm allowed, and the judge let it go. Then there was a retrial, I think. Someone in America, then there was that guy who chopped his wife's head off in America because it's his quote-unquote religion. Anyway, you can't have Sharia law and the Constitution cannot coexist because they're opposites. And so you can't have tolerance for Sharia law, as the liberals would like to use the word. Anyway, I was learning all this, and someone asked me, when was your awakening to Islam? I said, 9/11.
Yeah, that's kind of a no-brainer, really, you know.
Mine too. Yeah, well, really? That was your awakening too?
Yeah, I mean, I had heard of Islam prior to that, but it never came to the forefront with me like it did when I found out what happened. And then from there, I mean, I just started really studying it and came to the same conclusion that you just said, you know, the stages that we're in and exactly what they're doing. So if it wasn't a wake-up call for, you know, for everyone, then that's really sad, you know, because we get it and so many people don't. But, you know, you just said, you know, so many things that we talk about on this show. And it's funny that, you know, we talked about this yesterday, you met John Guandolo, you know, in the airport. And, you know, he was a guest on my show last week, and he's phenomenal. I mean, he's very smart about what he does, but, you know, you've got this information as well, and, you know, you're starting to speak out about it, and, you know, so, but you do get weird looks when you start talking about this stuff. You know that, you know, I mean, it's, you say Islam, like you said, it was a cult. It basically is a club, you know. I mean, they use religion as a guise. So I think you're so right on about that. So I'd say the same thing about communism and Islam.
Okay, so I was on the plane with John Guandolo, and I said, which is more dangerous for our country right now, communism or Islam? They're both trying to take over and take in his protection off of our country because Deuteronomy 26 says, if you obey the Lord's commandments, he will protect you and bless you. And if you do not obey him, he will not protect you or bless you. And our country is spitting in God's face. So he's not protecting us. So now all of these things are moving in, Islam and communism, et cetera. Immorality, our children, no fathers, and et cetera. And so he said to me, Islam is more dangerous right now. And I said, really? So he invited me to a six-hour briefing in Washington, D.C. I ran into a fellow comedian there. There was a small room. Very few Congress people came. I was very disappointed. He gave an amazing six-hour lecture that convinced me that the Muslim Brotherhood is in the White House, the CIA, the FBI, it's taken over. Hama Wiener, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, so then I'm at this meeting, and Brad Stein, the Christian comedian, is there. I'm like, what are you doing here? He's like, what are you doing here? I said, well, I'm concerned about our country. He goes, me too. And so it's like all kinds of people are starting to get it, you know, not just politicians. Well, the politicians are not getting it because they just want to be reelected. But so I'm speaking, you know, and this YouTube that talks about the three stages, basically Saudi Arabia is in stage three. So you cannot be a Christian there. It is all run by Sharia law. Europe is in stage two. They're, you know, the Muslims have taken over pretty much. It's almost stage three. And we're in stage one going into stage two, I think.
I think you're right. You know, when we talk about the stages, you're definitely right about that because they're getting more and more bold. You know, they're not hiding the fact that they're Muslim Brotherhood and what their goals are here. And so, yeah, I think you're completely right about that. I have a question that somebody emailed me to ask you, and there's a little bit to it. So let me just, is it okay? Do you mind if I read this part to you, and then if you can answer it now?
Okay. Ask me anything you want.
Okay, this is from a gentleman. I'm not going to say his name, but anyway, he says, as a writer of mainstream science fiction, I find it difficult to get support from an audience. Oh, brother, I just learned how to read. Excuse me. From an audience when some of the work has Christian undertones and or themes. On the other hand, I don't get much support from Christians because it's not preachy enough. His question is, do you ever find yourself in the same situation? And if so, what are your internal struggles? Are you caught in the middle? And he has a website that's really kind of cool. It's called LeonardoVerse.com. And so he just, I guess, wanted to know, you know, more about the Christian thing. You know, do you have a problem with that as well, people not paying attention, or, you know, what do you get from that?
That's a great subject. A lot of people don't take me seriously because of my background in comedy or because of my voice, and I just think it's kind of funny. Here's the thing. For instance, I was on Bill O'Reilly about 2 months ago, and he actually, his editors edited out my last sentence and to sensationalize what I was saying and to make me look dizzier. And
wow.
Yeah, they did, and I'll prove it to you. But anyway, after I was on, then he was talking to Dennis Miller, and Dennis Miller said, well, I don't know if she's putting on that thing for show business purposes, but a lot of what she said I agree with. And I'm thinking, put on what thing? Because I wore a bow in my hair. I mean, seriously, the voice is not fake. I mean, but yes, I do. And to answer that email, I do get frustrated with the Christian world thinking I'm too edgy and the real world thinking I'm too clean. Like my stand-up comedy routine, it's too clean for most comedy clubs, but the Christians, they don't like that I have a Playboy joke. Even though the joke makes fun of Playboy, like it's a bad thing, they don't like me to say the word. You know, the word is a sin. And so it's like you're in the middle and you can't please anyone. So I just go on my knees and I say, God, what do you want me to do? How can I please you? Because we're here to serve, to please an audience of one, and no one has said it better than Sarah Groves, the Christian singer. Everybody go YouTube it. And she has this song that goes, so I live and I breathe for an audience of one. So I live and I breathe for an audience of one. That's the answer.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You're right. And I understand that. And you can't win. You know that. You personally can't win because you're right. You know, you have what people consider, you know, this persona, but that's kind of their problem, that they aren't looking beyond that persona. I mean, look at Hollywood. I mean, you know, some of those fake people in Hollywood, at least you're genuine. You know, at least you have a true agenda and a true meaning, and it's really kind of sad that people can't take you for what you are, And but think a little bit more about that. I've got to take a break, and then we'll be back with more Victoria Jackson and some of her thoughts. And then we're going to be wrapping it up with her. It went, like, way too quick. So hold on, Victoria. We will be back in a moment. And
okay.
We'll have more with Victoria Jackson in a second.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
You're struggling with your mortgage. You think about it. You don't do anything but think about it.
What are we going to do if we lose the house? Where are we going to go?
At work.
I can't let anybody find out. I'm so embarrassed.
At dinner.
How can I tell the kids? It's going to wreck their lives.
And at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get through this. What's going to happen to us?
It's time to stop thinking. It's time to start dialing. Call 1-888-995-HOPE for a free government program that offers expert one-on-one advice about your mortgage options.
I'm all alone.
No, you're not. We've helped over a million homeowners, and we want to help you. And now there are more ways to help. Call 1-888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Hey, sweetie. What's going on?
Well, honey, I have some news.
Okay. What?
All that training paid off. I got the job.
Oh, I knew you would get it. So when do you start?
When you donate stuff to Goodwill, you help provide job training for people right here in your community. Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Hello, I am Robert Garding of the New Wise Conservatism radio show, heard on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, through conservativenationmedia.com. Being on the air since 2007 from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, we've helped people become more informed to keep socialists out of the White House and Congress. But that work isn't over yet. Tune in Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on CNN for the New Wise Conservatism radio show, the voice of reason in our unreasonable world.
Welcome back. Daily Roll Call with Kathy Henners on conservativenationmedia.com. If you'd like to call in to make a comment or have a question for Victoria or myself, it's 718-305-7176. And we are back with Victoria Jack going by really, really fast because we have, like, so many different things to talk about. You know, there's I could spend hours and we still don't get answers. But, you know, I'm just so happy that you came on. So, and by the way, I like that song that you sung and John Guandolo recognized you. Is that online anywhere?
Yeah, actually. It's on YouTube, and it's under Politichick. And, you know, if you click in there, Muslim or something, my name. And then there's a communist living in the White House on YouTube. There's there's 600,000 hits, I think. But
wow.
I wanted to reach 300 million people, so I'm still hoping someone will learn what I'm trying to say from that song. But I have a lot more facts proving he's a communist now, because that was written a long time ago. Now we've got books by Trevor Loudon, Dinesh D'Souza, Aaron Klein, who have lots of facts they've gathered. But I wanted to tell you one more funny thing about that whole people taking me seriously. Is that when I first started to speak out as a conservative activist, people would write online things like, she's doing an Andy Kaufman, and like I'm doing this like performance art, and I'm pretending to be a cliche Tea Party, or, and then one of these days I'm going to go, ha-ha, tricked you. And I just thought that was so funny because I'm not clever enough to come up with something like that, and I don't really have the energy to do like a lifelong trick. But if they actually dig into my past, they would see that I've been standing up for conservative values for my whole life. I went to a Bible college. When I was upside down on the update desk doing a Christmas tree handstand, I was actually mentioned Jesus. And in one skit with Dennis Miller, I said, my priorities are, you know, one, I'm a mother, two, I'm a Christian, three, I'm a, but anyway, so I should have said number one, I'm a Christian, number two, I'm a mother, but it wouldn't have helped the joke, so I flipped it around.
Yeah, it just, but you know, you must get that a lot, and you know, I know you must have thick skin to be able to overlook a lot of the garbage that people throw out there. I mean, you know, when you said that Bill O'Reilly basically kind of, you know, set you up and used something at the end that you didn't, you know, say, you have to start wondering about what his agenda is, you know. So, you know, who's the true person, you know?
Kathy, you want me to tell you what it was?
Yeah, what did he do?
Okay, well, first I just have to tell you, I don't care if people take me seriously or not. My whole purpose in speaking out is that it'll get the conversation going. And if somebody says, oh, the Tory Jackson's an idiot, she said the other day that Obamacare was a terrible thing and that it was going to add to the deficit. And if they start talking about it, then that, my goal was achieved.
There you go. Absolutely. And that's a good way to look at it. I'm glad you look at it that way. But what did he do? What did he do?
Okay, what he did, and the other thing is, when they call me nasty names on the internet, it doesn't mean anything to me. It just shows me how stupid and evil they are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so basically what he did was, I'm very grateful to be on his show, and, you know, he's not really a true conservative, but I'm hoping that he will learn something as the time goes by. But he has some things he says are very true. But anyway, I was on there plugging my book, and my final sentence was, and they pre-recorded my interview, and they added some pictures from SNL and everything. But my last sentence was, I said, I'm passionate about this because I'm going to die soon, but my children are here, and I taught them I'm going to die soon, but my children are here, and I don't want them to be, and they kill, okay, let me start over. This is what I really said. I'm passionate about this because I'm going to die soon, but my children will be here, and they persecute and kill Christians, and I taught them to believe in Jesus Christ. It's kind of a sloppy sentence. But this is what they did. They edited out my reference to my children. And so what it sounded like was, I'm passionate about this because I'm going to die soon. They persecute and kill Christians. I taught them about Jesus Christ. And they took out the reference to my children. So it sounded like I was some kind of conspiracy theorist who thinks Obama's going to kill me soon.
Oh, no. That's not what you were saying. That's really not good. That's really disappointing, you know. I mean, I guess, you know, we know his agenda. That's surprising.
But if you watch it on YouTube, you can see my mouth doesn't match. You can see where they cut the tape, and it doesn't make sense. And so, you know, I just wanted to report that because it's the no spin zone. You're not supposed to have a spin.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but I think that's important that you clear that up so that people don't, you know, just assume things about you. I know that you don't care, you know, what people say. Important, you know, I mean, you have a message and you have a very important message. And, you know, we're going to be helping each other, you know, get these messages out as much as we can. And we know that. And before we go, what is your book about? Is my bow too big? What is that book about?
Well, It's called How I Went From SNL to the Tea Party. But basically, every day of my life for the last 21 years, people have said, how did you get on SNL? Why did you leave? What was it like? And I thought, you know, I could answer all those questions and then leave them with something meaty and important at the end. So I basically tell them how I got on TV, what it was like, why I left, and how I got into the Tea Party, and what it was like when I met Andrew Breitbart and knew him before he died, mysteriously, and then how the Bible, what the Bible means to me. And I leave them with verses that prove that Jesus was God, that he was the Messiah, and I leave them with some meat to chew on, because when it all comes down, we're all going to die, and we got to fight for what we believe in, but the most important thing is our relationship with Jesus Christ.
You're right, and we've lost that. I think we've lost a lot of that. We're becoming almost like a godless, lawless country. And, you know, I don't think it's too late. A lot of people say it's too late to get that back. I don't know that it is, because of people like yourself that, you know, really have a platform and are well-known and well-loved. And, you know, you speak the truth. And, you know, I guess if people don't like it, that's their problem, you know. But so you've got your new book, and then you've got your website, victoriajackson.com. And did you just write that article? I didn't get to look at it, about the Navy SEALs. Did you write that?
Oh, yes. I'm friends with Karen Vaughn. I love her so much. And her husband, Billy. Have you had them on yet?
No, not yet, but I would like to. I would like to have them on.
Yeah, they just wrote a book called Betrayed. It's about their son, Aaron, crashing in that helicopter where 22 Navy SEALs died. And there's a lot of unanswered questions from the military about that. And you've got to hear their story. And also, I just wrote the article tonight about if it looks like a duck and it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck, then it's a duck. And I basically, the title of my article is, if it walks like a dictator and it talks like a dictator.
I got to read that. I have to read that. And that's going to be posted on victoriajackson.com soon?
No, I did an hour ago.
Okay, so it's not going to be on there. But, I, you know, looking at your website, and I really would like to talk to you about having the Vaughns on at some point. I've got a lot of questions, too. But looking at your website, you've got some really great, you know, Obama's Next Lie, Climate Gate with him and the Pinocchio nose, and, you know, you give a message, but yet you still have a tiny bit of comedy in there, and I think that is pretty helpful. I mean, you write very seriously about very serious topics, but the picture, you know, the picture of Obama is priceless. And so I think that people could really learn a lot from your articles that you write. You're very articulate, and you're very good at what you do. So, you know, victoriajackson.com, is there any other website that people can go to, you know, read other articles, or is that victoriajackson.com is where they should go for that?
That's where they should go. And let me tell you one last thing in closing. I saw Rick Santorum last night. Yay, I love him for the third time.
Okay.
I run into him three times, and every time I'm like, can I take a picture with you? And it didn't turn out very good, but I'm going to post it soon. But basically, he gave the most beautiful speech last night, and he loved the Lord. I mean, people didn't get to see his true heart from those debates or anything, but he is now the CEO of a movie company called Echolight. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, and he said, I don't know how to run a movie company, but he said, I'm lending my fame. He said, I have courage, and he said, I need wisdom and discernment, so please pray for that for me. But he said, I'm going to lend my fame to shed a light on this very necessary topic. We need to affect the culture with our conservative message. And, Hollywood has stolen the entertainment industry, and they put out all of their evil stuff. But he's like, instead of complaining about it, let's put out good stuff. So And there's a hunger for that. So he is lending his fame to this company. Their first movie is coming out November 22nd, which is next week, and we all hope to go and support it. It's called The Christmas Candle, and it's basically about faith, about miracles. Some people believe in them. Some people don't believe in them. And it's a really good-feeling family movie, beautiful.
And
so, yeah, so everyone go support it. And then let's send his company, Echolight, let's send them scripts, and let's encourage our children to be actors and artists and infiltrate the entertainment business.
Absolutely. And I'm going to put that up on my website, dailyrollcall.com as well. And Victoria, it has been a pleasure. It has been a lot of fun talking to you. And I hope that you will come back on and join us. And I hope to catch up to you over the next week or so we can figure out our next move. And thank you really for taking the time to come on tonight. And just, we have so many things to talk about, so you got to come back. But thank you so much for coming on.
Kathy, thank you for what you're doing. I really appreciate it. You're so awesome, and keep up the good work.
All right, Victoria, you have a good one. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. All right, we're going to wrap up our first hour, and an awesome hour it was, and we will be back on the second hour with Daily Roll Call here on conservativenationmedia.com.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. The House of Representatives voted Friday to codify President Obama's promise that Americans who like their health insurance can keep it under the Affordable Care Act. The vote was 261 to 157, with 39 Democrats voting in support and 4 Republicans voting against. The legislation, sponsored by Republican Fred Upton, aims to help Americans whose insurance policies have been canceled due to the new standards set by Obamacare. The bill also allows insurance companies to continue to sell plans that fail to meet the health care reform law's criteria. The White House has already said that Obama would veto the bill if it ever reaches his desk, thus ensuring its demise.
Whatever its intentions, the plan would, by allowing insurers to sell substandard policies to new customers, unlimited number of new customers, would undermine the central premise of the Affordable Care Act, which is that there should be minimum standards for everyone.
Spokesman Jay Carney. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Hey, there he is. How's it going?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you going to shake my hand or what?
I'm having a stroke.
Wow, you're not even moving your arm.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you okay?
I'm having a stroke.
Your face looks weird, too.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having a seizure or something?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
There are many sounds in your day-to-day life. There are sounds that wake you up. Sounds that make you smile. Sounds that energize you. And sounds that help you relax. But there are some sounds that can alert you to danger and can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you information about severe weather events, amber alerts, or other emergencies in your area. With critical information from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know, wherever you are. For more information, visit ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to conservativenationmedia.com. This is Daily Roll Call. I'm Kathy Hinners, your host. Our number to call in is 718-305-7176. And we had a great, great first hour with funny girl Victoria Jackson, who has a very serious side to her when it comes to talking about today's issues and today's problems. And, you know, an hour isn't long enough. An hour, you know, thoughts kind of go all over the place. It's very hard just to get something going within an hour. But I think you get the gist of where her heart and soul is and where her mind is. And she has become quite the fighter, you know, where she's living. And so I would recommend her website, victoriajackson.com. There's a lot of great articles on there and very serious stuff, you know, but she sees the communism, she sees the Islamism and, you know, history rewriting itself basically. So again, that's victoriajackson.com and her new book is on the website as well. And there's other things on her website as well. So watch some of the old skits on Saturday Night Live because she is very, very funny. And it just makes you appreciate, you know, what she's going through a little bit more. So, you know, thank you again, Victoria, for coming on the show. Now, at the beginning of the show, we talked about what we were going to talk about in the second hour. And we've been talking about CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, for the past month. I do believe tonight is my fourth, my fourth show. So congratulations tonight for being a month. I'm a month old already. But we've been talking pretty steadily through these 4 weeks about the Muslim Brotherhood and some of the organizations that are here in this country. And if you haven't gotten it, you know, the guests that I've had on since day one have been laying this foundation and also a path. You know, so you have to realize that it isn't just me. You know, it's not just some crazy woman on the radio or some crazy retired cop telling you that, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood is here because they are. They are here. And what really got me, and I wrote a very brief post on it, my website is dailyrollcall.com, and I wrote a post regarding one of my pet peeves is CARE. And I do not understand how a terrorist organization with terrorists as their leaders are still alive and well in this country. And two things, I guess, that got me this week. Number one is the executive director of CARE, Nihad Awad, was voted as one of the top 500 most influential Muslims in this country. Now, why we have a list of the top 500 influential Muslims in this country is beyond me. I think that is just really bad. And then to make Nihad Awad, who is a terrorist, he is a supporter of Hamas. I don't get it. So I don't know why we're even acknowledging him. And I really hate to talk about him because I hate to give him airtime, but yet you need to know his name. You need to know who he is and what he's all about. So that was the number one thing that got me this week, is that they named him in this stupid, you know, list of important people. I haven't seen a list of the top, you know, 500 Catholics or the top 500 Jews or Mormons come out lately. So, you know, that should tell you where we're headed, okay? So that's just one of the things. And then the other thing that I might as well rant on real quick about, and I did do a very short post, is on their Facebook page, on CARE's Facebook page, they write, anti-Muslim newspaper in Georgia has a anti-Islamic, anti-Muslim opinion letter that's filled with hate. And it just, you know, it's a hate mongering opinion letter. So I couldn't wait to read this letter. I thought, wow, this must be cool. If, you know, if a paper in Georgia, you know, put this in the paper, what on earth could it possibly say? So I went to the link that CARE has on their website, and the name of it is called Justifiable Lying. And it's a very, very brief, I think it's like maybe not even three paragraphs, talking about Taqiya, or Taqiya, however you want to say it, but Taqiya, and that's T-A-Q-I-Y-Y-A,
is the art of deception. And it is the Islamic word, basically, and I'll read you this. It's the Islamic word for concealing or disguising one's beliefs, convictions, ideas, feelings, opinions, or strategies. And that's true. That is the definition. And if you go to any Islamic site, you'll see where they talk about taqiyya and how it is acceptable for a Muslim in a non-Muslim country to use taqiyya to further their cause. So this is all that it says. It says exactly what is taqiyya, and then it just says how Christianity, lying is a sin. I mean, we're all taught that, you know, you have to go to confession and, oh my God, I lied 500 times. Please bless me, Father, for I've sinned. So that's all it says. And it just says how Islam permits lying to deceive, which they're doing, for their ultimate goal, which is world domination. And then it simply ends with Muslims are using taqiyya to manipulate a naive White House, and President Obama is using it to manipulate gullible Americans. And that's it. And they go on about how it is a hate-filled piece of opinion, but this is what they do. Because 9 times out of 10, no one is going to read that hate-filled opinion letter. So they just put it out there, like it's hate-filled. I guess my reply to them is, where is the hate? There is no hate. This person that wrote this did not say anything anti-Muslim, anti-Islam. There's no hate whatsoever in those 2.5 paragraphs. So this is what they do. If you don't agree with them, if you don't, like what they're saying, they didn't attack the content of the man's opinion. They didn't say, oh, you are wrong, this is what taqiyya means and this is how we use it. They didn't say that. Instead, they just labeled it, oh, it's hate, because they don't agree and they don't like, it's hate. Well, this is the things, these are the contradictory things that is very important for you to start seeing. And when you start reading these articles, you'll see that they've labeled people Islamophobes and they've Muslims and bigots and haters. I'm none of the above. However, I do not agree with how Islam is sneaking in, if you will, or slithering in, whatever you want to say, into the country through the back door. Usually when things or people enter back doors, it's because the front door isn't open to them. So you have to wonder why this is happening. And we have been talking about this, and I thought that this fit in perfectly with everything that we talk about, because, again, there's that Russian doll phenomenon where you lift off the lid and there's another and another, and you never really get to the bottom because they never tell the truth. There's always one more layer of something. So CARE, who we also call them Hamas because they were born, kind of morphed from Hamas, they're alive and well in this country. And if you go to their website, and I guarantee you won't get a virus because they don't want to give you a virus because they want you to go back to their website. But if you look at their Facebook page or their website, you'll just see that they are constantly attacking every single thing that happens to a Muslim. A Muslim can't have a beard today because he joined the police department. Oh my God, it's the end of the world. He can't have a beard. It's against, you know, his religion to shave. You know, so I mean, there's a million examples. So you really need to go and you need to start seeing the contradictions. They have a thing called a policy, a role model or a role policy for law enforcement, where they lay out the law for law enforcement to enter any of their entities, whether it's an Islamic center, a mosque, masjid, whatever you want to call it. When police officers enter any of their organizations or their buildings, they want that police officer to promise that they are not there for any other reason other than to talk to them. They can't use the intelligence. They can't do any of this nonsense. So that is their policy, their template, if you will, for a policy for law enforcement. So you have to go to their site to really appreciate it. It's really kind of comical, actually. But I think once you start understanding who CARE is and who they aren't, I think that that's going to be huge. So we are going to take a quick break, and we will be back with more on CARE. We're going to talk about Islamberg, and we're going to talk about what to look for when you go into one of their stores. America is still the freest country on earth, and those of us who love America know that the Constitution is the reason for our liberties. ConservativeNation.com isn't going to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedom away, and our constitutional expert, Matthew Opalsky, is leading the charge. Join Matthew every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, for the Liberty and Constitution community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. That's the Liberty and Constitution community with Matthew Opalsky, Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, then you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You've got to try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Every 20 seconds, another kid drops out of school.
If we do nothing, 3.5 million kids won't receive a diploma over the next 4 years. United Way knows that kids who have a caring adult in their life are more likely to make it. And the difference between a dropout and a graduate could be you. Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
ConservativeNationMedia.com. This is Daily Roll Call with Kathy Hinners, your host. Give us a call at 718-305-7176. And, of course, it's Friday, so that means it's time to talk about Islam and Muslims. And where else are you going to get this stuff, right? I mean, not every place lets you talk about this stuff. So you're going to get an education over the next couple of weeks. So without further ado, I really want to get into what you need to look for when you start going into these gas stations, the tobacco stores in particular, and any of the smaller convenience stores. And how I learned about this stuff was in the area that I worked in, and I patrolled in an all-black neighborhood for 20 years. And I started to see this change towards about the fourth year before I retired. And it was strange. All of a sudden, there's like guys from Yemen, you know, and they're wearing all the Muslim clothes, and then there's the Afghanistans across the street, the Afghanis, and then we've got the Pakistanians down the street, and within a one mile radius on a straight street called North Pearl Street, and actually it was South Pearl Street, there were 12 Middle Eastern run stores. Now you say, okay, that's no big deal.
you know, what's that got to do with anything? Well, why do you need 12 Middle Eastern run stores? In an oppressed area, people can't afford a whole lot. So there's 12 stores that sell everything from, you know, your hair weaves to blue juice and Cheetos. So there really wasn't a reason for those stores to be there. So I thought, well, you know what? Everybody needs to know what to start looking for. And someone had asked me, well, what do you do if we start seeing the things that you're talking about? Well, start keeping, you know, track of what you're seeing, and then call your local law enforcement and hope that they don't, like, lock you up for thinking you're crazy or put you in a padded room for a while. But, no, seriously, if you do start seeing these things, somebody needs to know about it. And this is why we're trying to educate law enforcement as well, to be able to look to see what they're actually doing in these stores. So I'd say probably one of the first things when you walk into one of these stores, you want to notice, what are the smells? You know, I mean, if they're selling subs, which so many of these little stores do, if they're selling submarines, don't you think they should smell like onions and maybe not so much like Clorox? Because they're not really that clean. Now, if they're using Clorox because they're clean, then you know what? Good for it. Go in there and eat every day. But if they're not a clean store, they're selling your subs and things like that, and they smell of a chemical, that's not a good thing. You know, what do you make with chemicals? That's right. You make bombs with chemicals. Okay, and we're going to get into a few of those things in a few minutes. So unique odors to a store, all right? If they sell absolutely nothing and you smell these chemicals or something, you've got a problem. Acetone has a smell. Ammonia has a smell. So there's things to look for. If a smell smacks you in the face when you walk in, that's not a good thing. Empty shelves. Now, why would you say empty shelves? Well, they're in business, so they're in business to sell products. So if they don't have products, what do you think they're doing? They're not there for your business, that's for sure. So they may be a front for an organization. Now, right off the bat, I know everybody's like, oh, my God, she's crazy. You know, not everybody is bad. I'm not saying everybody is bad. I'm telling you what to look for when you go into some of these stores. So right now, picture the store that you go in all the time, and little Muhammad is behind the counter, and you go in this store all the time, and already you're like, oh, there's something wrong in this store. So, you know, so start thinking, have a place in mind. This is what I do when I'm instructing law enforcement. I say, hey, think of a place, and we're going to continue to run down this list, all right? So we're talking about odors when you walk in the door, and then empty shelves. And are the goods predominantly in the front of the store? You know, how do they feel about you going, you know, to the back of the store? And usually they don't want you going to the back of the store for a lot of different reasons. So think about, you know, the products and then what kind of products. You know, if they're selling chocolate and it's white and it isn't white chocolate, there's a problem. That chocolate has been around for a long time, and I don't think that you want to eat it. So look at the products, you know. I mean, has the bologna roll been around for, you know, like years and from the 60s? That's disgusting, but they're not there to give you necessarily the product you need. They're there as a front or as a cover for an organization. So they don't care what they're selling. So look for those products. Expired products are products that have stickers from other stores. If you walk in and everything has a Walmart sticker on it, what do you think's wrong with that? And I can tell you, very seriously, one of the things that used to happen in my jurisdiction is that they would shoplift things. They would actually send some of the kids from the neighborhood out to shoplift certain goods that, you know, like baby formula is huge in areas, more oppressed areas. You can sell baby formula, baby food. What else was there? That was a huge one, but like, you know, cigarettes. So they'll send the kids in the neighborhood out to shoplift these goods and then bring them back to their store, and they'll do what they have to do if they're expired or whatever. They'll make it look good. So be aware of the products that they're selling. Now, I can tell you the majority of the places that I used to go into, and if any of my fellow comrades are listening, I think you'll know the one I'm talking about is on the corner of Valpearl and 4th Avenue with a guy named Shorty from Yemen that worked there. But he had a classic signs everywhere of what he was doing. So the expired products, again, you know, they're supposed to be in business, but they're not. Price stickers that don't match the name of the store. Why don't they match the name of the store? But then used merchandise. And I know that sounds really disgusting, but they sell used hair weaves. They would sell used T-shirts, watches, even wigs. I mean, things that are normally illegal to sell in a store, they would sell them. Just not a place you really want to do your shopping, but yet they make products available to people who can't necessarily afford. And they do this, they set up these stores in these areas as a neighborhood store because it's a lot easier for people that don't have a car to get to them. So, you know, if somebody doesn't have to take a bus to get their baby formula and they can walk two doors down to get it, you know, it's much more convenient, and they know that. So that's something to keep in mind. Trash receptacles, this is huge. And when I talk in my class, I talk about garbology. Now, I don't expect anybody to do that, but garbology is very important. You learn a lot what comes out of somebody's garbage. I mean, think about the stuff you throw away. It tells your story. It tells you what you did that day. So they probably won't have a trash receptacle in their store. If they are doing something they're not supposed to be doing, if they are an operating cell, if they are collecting money for another organization, they're not going to have a trash receptacle. They will use a neighbor's. They will use the city or county ones that might be out in the street, but they themselves will get rid of their trash anywhere but their own store. So be mindful of that. You know, when you go into one of these places, check out to see if, in fact, they do have their own garbage. I know that sounds crazy, and you'll say, well, I just, you know, get to the counter and there's a big, huge glass. You know, he's barricaded in back there. But you know what you can do? You just say, hey, would you throw this away for me and see what he does? He might just, you know, throw it behind the counter. But they will not. If they are up to no good, they are not going to have any trash receptacle. A really big one, too, is they used to hijack each other's utilities. I suppose it depends on what kind of an area. If you're out in the middle of nowhere and it is a sole standing building, it's going to be a really, really long cord to, you know, to Bubba's house. So not necessarily the case. But if it's in a more of a city setting, they will hijack. They may just run a cord up into the ceiling and into the house next door. The neighbor may or may not know about it. And in a lot of cases, the neighbor will accept money to do that, to let this guy hijack his utilities. And it's usually just electricity. You go into a lot of these stores, they do not have heat. They do not have air conditioning. So it's one less thing they have to pay. And they certainly don't have a landline phone. They use track phones and track phones specifically because calls can't be traced on track phones. So those are just a couple of things as well. But the hijack utilities, you know, a lot of times we walk into these stores and we don't look up. You need to start looking up because there's a whole other world on that ceiling. So look up. And, you know, if you see some of the tiles in the ceiling have been moved and there's wires running up through there, you might want to know why those wires are running up through the ceiling. Are they, in fact, stealing someone else's electrical power? Now, when you see a lot of men coming and going from a store, we used to just kind of think it was, there's got to be drugs, you know, going on in there, or there's something going on in there. Well, you're right. A lot of these stores host meetings for whatever organization they are funding or supporting. They will host their meetings in these stores, usually in the back of the store. So you'll see men coming and going, but usually at particular times. And a lot of times they match up with prayer time so that they can do their prayers and then have their meeting. You will never see women coming and going like that. Women are not allowed to be part of these processes. So generally it's just men. And again, as law enforcement, we see the same patterns coming and going. We think, oh, drugs. It isn't necessarily drugs anymore, is what I should say. So that is, again, something to look for. You know, when you walk into a store, is there a group in the back? Is there a group of men in the back? What do they do when you walk in the store? I had a woman here in Nashville tell me that every time she goes to use this bathroom in the gas station, there, you know, she's told, no, you can't use the bathroom. No, you can't go back there. Well, why not? You know, I got to go to the bathroom. Why can't I use your bathroom? A lot of times, if they have a utility room right there, they're gonna have their prayers and everything back there. So I need you to think about some of these things, and we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more.
Peekaboo. Peekaboo, smile.
Smile, buddy.
Come on, smile. Oh, honey, he's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah, maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy. You know how boys are.
Or maybe he's teething. Oh, poor baby. I think his gums hurt.
Maybe he's just tired.
Or maybe his tummy hurts. He didn't eat that much.
Maybe he's not ticklish.
You think maybe he's scared of the dog?
Maybe he'll outgrow it. Maybe it's a phase. Maybe he just doesn't like smiling.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No Big Joyful Smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs or see a doctor today for an autism screening. The sooner it's diagnosed, the better. And it can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Molon LeVay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeVay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing.
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to ConservativeNationInMedia.com. This is Kathy Henners on Daily Roll Call. Our number to call in is 718-305-7176. One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. So don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. It helps protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com, click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and the scopes may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com, then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad you did. Now, we have been talking about what to look for when you go into a lot of these stores, and LifeLock kind of just reminds me of the fact that that is one of the biggest threats through some of these stores that are run, because in the back they also run a lot of little scams. And one of the scams that I'll just briefly tell you about is called the coupon scam. And it is the simplest, like one of those moments, like why didn't I think of that type thing? But certainly
you know, I'm not trying to give anybody any ideas or anything, but you have to be a registered business. And what they do is they collect as many newspapers as they can, whether it's the Thursday or the Sunday edition, whatever, and they'll have kids in the neighborhood go steal as many newspapers from drop-off points as they can. They bring them back to the store, and they get busy clipping coupons. Originally, when they set up their business, they registered with the National Coupon Clearing Center, the warehouse, and to accept coupons, because anybody can accept coupons as long as you have a business. So they register with that, and then they just take these coupons, and this is how stupid this is, and they don't even necessarily carry the product, but they'll turn the coupons in. And one of the stores in downtown Albany had gotten over $1 million in coupon money, refunds, in probably a year. So it's a really big scam, and that is it. That's it. They collect, they don't even sell, and they turn them in on a monthly basis. And that the clearinghouse does not have investigators that can go out to see if, in fact, you know, Jamel or whoever is selling these products. So you might have the store with the guy from Yemen, my friend Shorty, did not sell Cheerios, but yet he could turn in coupons for $1 off a box of Cheerios. And every month he could turn in these coupons and then get the money back, even though he didn't sell those products. So that's just one of the many scams that goes on. And we were just talking about, you know, men coming and going, you know, not necessarily coming out with any of the products, you know, that are sold in the store. So watch for that, you know, kind of pattern, if you will, of men coming in and out. If you walk in your store, if you go in the store all the time, then you know, you might be familiar. And one really interesting thing is if you walk into a liquor store and it's run by Muslims, it's really, really, that's really amazing, because according to the Quran and the Sunnah and the Hadith, which are the traditions of Muhammad, they are not allowed to have anything to do with alcohol. So someday I'm going to put my burqa on and I'm going to go in one of these stores and just ask them, how come you sell liquor? It's against the religion. So you got to wonder, you know, it's all about the profit. It's really, and I don't mean the prophet Muhammad, I'm talking, you know, money profit. So that's just another thing to think about. If you ever get a chance to look through garbage. Now, you might have a neighbor that you're a little suspicious of. So, you know, you start looking through the garbage to see what you have. Garbage is incredible, but you want to look at, like, receipts. I mean, do they have receipts that don't match the products that they sell? If you have a store in the middle of a city and there's no cows or no farms around them, why are they buying fertilizer? You know, why are they buying the grade and the amount of fertilizer that they need? Why do they have applications for credit cards and other people's names in their garbage? Why do they have, you know, travel itineraries or discarded boarding passes? You know, these are things to look for around. But I'd have to say, before we get on to another subject, the number one thing to look for when you go into these stores is charity solicitation boxes. And they don't make a whole lot of money on those boxes, but it doesn't matter. It's any and all money that can be collected is what's important. So a charity solicitation box, it may say the Somali Relief Fund, it may say the Pakistani Pakistani flood relief that happened several years ago that they're still collecting money for. It may have a heart on the box, which is especially troubling because that used to signify what's called Kind Heart, is a foundation that was shut down for funding Hamas with the Holy Land Foundation. Yes, people actually pay attention to this stuff. The Holy Land Foundation was a trial, and we've talked about this before, in Dallas, Texas, for this country's largest terrorism financing case. So Kind Heart was a kind of an offshoot of that. They were collecting money, and we had learned that they just had boxes on their counters with just a heart on it. You know, when people see heart, you think Valentine's Day, you think love. So what do? You give money. So if you see that, that's huge. You might just as well go out and call 5-0 right then, because there is a serious problem you know, they're collecting money for an organization, obviously terrorists. So the solicitation boxes are probably a really big thing. A lot of times there's no English on them. Sometimes it's Arabic writing. It's sometimes a lot of things in the store have a lot of Arabic writing. So, you know, be careful because you don't know. It could be just saying infidel, get out. Who knows what it's saying, but you need to be careful when you go into a lot of these stores. So there are just a few of the things that you can look for when you go in some of these stores. And, you know, you hate to paint this with such a broad brush, but I would have to say, and you heard, if you listened last week, you heard John Guandolo say it, that the majority are here for another reason. They do have that ideology behind them, and they do have this agenda behind them. So unfortunately, that includes, you know, the guy behind the counter at your favorite tobacco store. And tobacco stores here in this country are probably the worst for funding terrorism in this country. The cigarette scam, you know, how they'll come into the southern states usually are the cheaper tax states for cigarettes. They'll load up cartons and cartons and cartons however they can and take them to a higher state tax and make millions of dollars in profit. And, you know, so you need to kind of watch that. There's a very interesting documentary out there called Smokescreen Hezbollah, and that is specifically about this. And it happened here in America a few years ago. Well, more than a few years ago, but still, it's something to watch. So watch your tobacco stores and watch your small little stores that you go in, because a lot of times the products are not always what they say they're going to be. So keep your eyes open when you do. And, you know, if you see these things, I don't say to contact law enforcement every single time you see something. Just start keeping a little journal of, you know, make notes about who was in these places when you went in them and things like that. That would be a big help to law enforcement. And if law enforcement is in fact listening, these are things, you know, that you can start using to build a case. And, you know, I have had several instances where officers that have taken, the course that I give call me and tell me that, you know, things are happening and they've been looking and, you know, things are developing, you know, where they are. So, you know, it's helpful. And next week we're going to get into a little bit more about some of the scams and some of the more products. But I do want to touch briefly on a place called Islamburg. And there's Islamburg, there's Islamville. There's several of these compounds throughout this country, 36 to be exact. And they are run by an organization called Jamaat al-Fukra. Now, I don't expect you to remember that, and I know you're not going to remember that, but Jamaat al-Fukra is a name that you should definitely know. But before we get into that, I just want to say that after some serious thought, you've come to the conclusion that you don't believe the liberal media. Neither do we. For proof of that, Robert Garding's New Wise Conservatism Show is on conservativenationmedia.com every Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central. Robert has always had a big internet following, so listen Saturdays and you'll find out why. Thousands love his brand of New Wise Conservatism, and you will too. The New Wise Conservatism Show with Robert Garding, Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, right here on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. It's a great show. You should tune in and listen to Robert. He has a lot to say and a lot of information to give you. So before we end the show, we got a few minutes here just to talk about Islamburg. And what they are basically in these compounds, they are training compounds for this group. The Jamaat al-Fukra is a offshoot of the Muslim American Society, and we know that they are Muslim Brotherhood. In these compounds, and they're usually set up in the middle of nowhere. They usually buy acres of land, and they're given tax breaks because they're religious entities. I knew that would get you. But a lot of things go on behind the scenes in these compounds. And what I found when I've been to the one in New York, I've been there three times. And law enforcement's hands are tied. They know they're there. We stopped to talk to one of the chiefs of police from Deposit, New York, and he just simply said that they've been told to leave them alone. But yet we know from talking to some neighbors that no longer, you know, live by there, but we know that the neighbors had said that they are very, very active. You know, on weekends it's nothing to hear, you know, rapid gunfire. Well, of course, where else can't you hear rapid gunfire these days? But the point is that they're training. And so with having been able to go to some of these places, they're really creepy. I can tell you that they're very scary to go to. Islamberg is in the middle of nowhere. And what's interesting about Islamberg is that they are surrounded by the Cannondale Reservoir. The Cannondale Reservoir is New York City's main drinking water supply. So here you have a compound of known terrorists who have access to the Cannondale Reservoir, which obviously feeds millions and millions of people. So that's the first thing that that bothered me, to know that this little hovel, this compound, was right in the middle of that. In talking to some of the residents there, they always make it sound like it's a great place. You know, they grew up there. It's a great place to live. You know, there's nowhere else in the world to grow up. It's this, it's that. But we know that things happen here. We know that there's been visits by a man by the name of Sheikh Jalani, who is from Lahore, Pakistan, who, if the name doesn't sound familiar to you, he was the father of the mind, or the he had Richard Pearl, or Daniel Pearl. He had Daniel Pearl beheaded. So that's not a good thing. So stand by. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to wrap this up.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
So we've got our neighbor Paul coming over tonight for a barbecue, which is why I prepared a delicious lemon rosemary steak marinade from my special collection of old family recipes. To make sure the steaks are extra, extra, extra tender, I left them marinating out on the counter overnight, just like Nana used to.
Maria may mean well, but without food safety, it never ends well. Always thaw or marinate foods in the refrigerator at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or below, or you could make your friends and family really sick. Maria's neighbor Paul didn't think twice about the steak he ate until he was presenting his company's financial forecast to the board. That's when a sudden bout of food poisoning made it explicitly clear that profits weren't the only thing on the rise. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov. You'll learn the right steps as Maria does everything wrong. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to conservativenationmedia.com. This is Daily Roll Call with your host, Kathy Hinners. Our number is 718-305-7176. And we have been talking about Islamberg in the last couple of minutes. And if you can recall, Daniel Pearl was the journalist with the Wall Street Journal who was trying to do a story with his Sheikh Jilani, and he basically was set up. And on his way to meet him, he was kidnapped, and he was held for a few days, and then ultimately he was beheaded. That very group, Jamaat al-Fukra, is here in this country. So, you know, we always talk about al-Qaeda and Hamas and Hezbollah, whose headquarters, by the way, are in Chicago, Illinois. But there are these underlying groups, and the Muslim Society of America, the Muslim American Society, Jamaat al-Fukra, is very prevalent in these communities. And like I've said, the last I knew, there were 36 of those communities. I'm sure there's more now. The headquarters, if you will, is in Hancock, New York, which is also right on the border with Deposit, New York. Very, very scary places, but they are prevalent in a lot of the smaller towns in different areas. So, you know, look at, we have a map. I think I'll put it on my website, but look at the map and you can see what terrorist organizations are operating in your state. But the thing about this place is that the last that we knew, according to one of the women that lived there, there were 300 residents. And they have what's called a FBI community day. And I was invited back to the community day, except the woman wanted to check me out with the state police. So I just thought that was kind of odd that they wanted to vet me, you know, who I wanted to vet them, but before I could come in, they wanted to make sure that I was legit. And what's wrong with that picture, you know? So I've got a caller on the line here, and let's see if this is Robert. Hi.
Yeah.
How are you? Welcome. Hi, Robert.
How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I've been listening to your show, and anything about terrorists is something that needs to be put out there for people to hear, because most people just don't tend to think about America as having terrorists, and they're coming.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They're, you know, they've been very quiet for a long period of time because I believe they know they made a mistake with 9/11 because they were hated and they were basically, you know, exposed, you know, after that time, luckily for us. But what are you going to be talking about tomorrow on your show?
Oh, I've found a bunch of stuff. Like McCain now is saying that Obamacare needs to be repealed. And I've got some audio on that. And I found a cute little thing with Jay Leno on what he thinks of Obama and Obamacare. And I found another one about Oprah talking about how old racists must die. And the way she says that is just real creepy. And I've got an audio of that. I've got a bunch of good things. I'm still working on my show, but hopefully I'll find a bunch more stuff before the night's over.
I'm sure you will. And you know what? I saw something about Oprah tonight and talking about how, you know, the lack of respect for the office because it's a racial thing, you know, because he's black. And I'm like, are you kidding? There's no respect because he's destroyed us, you know? So
I'd
like to hear that clip.
Rush Limbaugh was saying that Oprah is saying it's because of racism, and Rush Limbaugh says no, it's because he lied. So
yeah,
this is getting really interesting.
That's there's no comparison, you know. There's nothing to do. It doesn't matter what color he's half white, for crying out loud. So you know, it really doesn't matter what he is. He's the worst president ever. No one respects the office. And, you know, he's destroying us, and, you know, he needs to go. And so, Oprah just, she needs to go away. You know, it's like no one really cares what she has to say. She's kind of done. But, you know, it's funny how the racism thing comes into play so often for stuff like this. So I'm going to be listening to you tomorrow because I want to hear what Jay Leno, and it's amazing, though, how some of these people that backed him are all of a sudden now they can't get far enough away from him, you know. So I think that's kind of interesting. But I definitely will be listening to you tomorrow.
Yeah, we have the Obama mass exodus right now. It's kind of interesting to watch.
You know, I just have a quick question for you, and I'm trying to get a bet going with somebody, but my money is on the fact that he is not going to leave in 2016. I don't think we'll have an election. I think he's going to stay. What do you think?
Well, he's put it across to several people that he would like to run for a third term, and he's probably got people out there working on ways to do it. So I don't know.
I think so.
He's broken the laws of the Constitution in this nation for so long now. Why should he stop now?
Yeah, and those executive orders, you know, I mean, he's been writing those without anybody really knowing about it. So nothing, I guess, would surprise me. But that's why we have your show, you know, to help, you know, root these things out and to hear these things. And so I certainly appreciate what you do on your show as well. So, but I thank you for calling in, sir.
No, you're welcome. And you have yourself a good night, and I've enjoyed the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Robert, and I'll be listening to you tomorrow.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, take care. That was Robert Garding, who has his show on Saturdays. I think everyone should listen to his show. You know, he has a lot of great information as well that he puts out there, too, you know, the whole conservatism thing. So really a good show to listen to and call in and ask questions because he's got a lot of good information, very intelligent. So you should listen to his show and call in. So as we wrap up here this evening, you know, just kind of to go over everything that we've done tonight, it's kind of been a blur. It's gone by very, very quickly as the weeks are going by quickly. I guess that's what happens when you get old. But, you know, the first hour with Victoria Jackson was great. I do need to really sit down with her and we need to focus on you know, some of the Islamic issues that are happening in this country because, boy, she's right on top of that. And then we started talking about CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, and I'm going to beat you guys to death with that because you need to know who they are. They're as dirty as the day is long, and they're everywhere. They're in the smallest of towns, and they're in the largest of cities. So if you hear of CARE, you know, you need to contact someone. Contact me and let me know that CARE is in your school district or they've been in your city because we want to know why they're there. And then what to look for. You know, I hope that out of that there was some information garnered that you did glean a little bit of something tonight, you know, what to look for when you go into these stores. And if you have any questions, you know, reach out to me. My website is dailyrollcall.com. There's a contact me tab there. And, you know, ask me a question. If you're too shy to ask me on the radio, email me, and I'll be more than happy to give you an answer. I look at my email several times a day, so it will never sit for very long. But what to look for when you go into these stores. And we're going to get into more details about what to look for next week. And then, again, with the Islamburg and Islamville, Islamville is in Dover, Tennessee. So I don't know what the others are called. I believe most of them are called Islamburgs and things like that. But look for them because they are there are, you know, in 36 cities that we know of. And the last I knew, they were building another one in, I think it was Wayne County, Pennsylvania, which is, again, a very remote part of the state. So they are there, and they're not there for a good reason. We know that they're doing training, jihadi training, if you will. They say that it's just paramilitary training, but we know differently. There is a video out called "The Terrorists in America" or "The Terrorist Training Camps in America," and very good, very very good video. It's got a lot of rough footage in it though, but it is good. And another one would be The Third Jihad. I highly recommend The Third Jihad. And another one is Losing Our Sons. Losing Our Sons is specific to Tennessee, but it's excellent, excellent, excellent video. So we're going to wrap up tonight. I hope, again, that you've learned some from all of this that we've been through. And next week, well, we never know who our guests are going to be. We're looking to get you some information on Sharia financing. Sharia financing is in your bank, whether you like it or not. And you can find out if it's in your bank. Next time you go in one of your banks, ask probably not the teller, but ask the manager if they have Sharia-compliant products. And I guarantee you they will say yes, and that is a problem, again, for America. So we are out of time. I hope that everyone did appreciate and learn something from the show. It was great having you here. I want you to have a good week. Hope to see you or hear from you next week. And God bless.